Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging.
We're looking at John 15 this evening. John 15, and due to time, I'm just going to believe that you can read it tomorrow morning in your quiet time, and I want to challenge you to read it tomorrow morning, but I'm going to take some scriptures out of John 15, and we're going to look at them this evening. I've kind of grouped John 15 in three sections. The first section, John 15, verses 1 through 8. John 15, 9, verses 9 through 17, and the last part, 8 through 17. That's how I'll follow my notes here tonight. One of the key scriptures that I love in John 15 is, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. You have to imagine this incredible invitation. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. There's no one on this earth that can match the power of Jesus. And here we have the invitation to come and abide with him. We have the holy and amazing creator that stepped out of heaven, that wants to step into our lives and abide and be with us. There is no greater honor that you could ever receive in this world than this invitation to abide with Jesus. No presidential invitation would ever surpass this invitation from the King of Kings. Abide with me, and I'll abide with you. It's our honor and privilege that we can abide with Jesus. People often ask, how was your time in Cairo? Cairo was incredible, not because we were stepping back into history and pyramids, and we had wonderful people and invitations to homes and living amongst the unreached, being lived dead. That's not what made it amazing. What made it amazing is that we spent extravagant time with Jesus every day. I want to give you a context of where we lived. It's a hostile context, a context that essentially says failure and fail. It's your context. Some of you are in families that are written across them already, failure or fail. Those were two words given to me tonight that I really wanted to share with you, that some over your lives you have fail and failure in your context, in your family life, in your school life, in your neighborhood, the people around you. There is a context written by Satan himself that says failure and fail. These are difficult contexts. Let me tell you a little bit about my context in Cairo. Over 10,000 times a day, all throughout the city, 2,000 mosques, five times a day, that's over 10,000 times, right? We heard this call, Jesus is not God. That's the spiritual context we lived in. Compounded with this, 20 million people, overcrowding, noisy streets that aren't quiet to 2 a.m., electrical blackouts every day when the weather is 100 degrees plus, no sidewalks for walking or running, traffic jam, smog, taxis without ACs, people constantly speaking to you as if you were a native speaker of Arabic, people trying to sell you things you don't want or extracting more money from you because you're a foreigner, multiple trips to the visa office, long waits at the visa office, crowded shoving in their way in the visa office. Cairo is a chaotic place, but with God, it was good. And we ended up loving the situations that we were in. There could have been a lot of complaining, but instead, my wife and I learned how to do a lot of rejoicing. And we count it a privilege and honor to live in such a chaotic place and getting and pushing us closer to Jesus. See, our context can push us away from Christ, but it also has the ability to push it closer. You have the decision tonight what your context is going to allow you to do. If we're going to bear fruit and see Jesus exalted in the places we go, whether it's Cairo, East Lansing, Okemos, Holt, wherever it may be, it's not going to happen when you just open your mouth and do something for Jesus. And I'm working for Jesus, and I'm evangelizing for Jesus, and I have a Bible study in Jesus' name. It's not going to happen in those times. It's going to happen. His name is going to be lifted up when you learn how to abide. That's the first and central point. See, without Jesus, we cannot bear fruit on our own, on ourselves. just picking up the tools that we think are going to advance his name so somehow we're working for his glory. No, he's already invited us. He's already invited us to have a relationship with him. We don't have to earn his favor. We don't have to work for Jesus. We can work with Jesus. The first part of working with him, the basic, the 101, is abiding with Jesus. In this next group of section, verses 9 through 17, we see two interesting things: abide in my love. And also, it's interesting to note that he wants to bring us joy and fullness of joy. You know, the world is looking for all happiness. We all talk about what makes you happy. Be happy. This makes me happy. But happiness is not as good as joy. Joy is greater than happiness. Joy is lasting. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit that cannot be reproduced out of our own goodness or hard work. It is the inner work that only the Holy Spirit can do. It's the inner work that only Jesus can do in us when we abide with him. We cannot mistakenly stop at happiness and accept it as our own, but we must press into Christ to find real joy. Real greatness is in joy, but this is not found holding on to happiness and what makes us heavy or happy. This is found only when we abandon happiness. We must abandon the idea of happiness so we can get to joy. Because joy is everlasting. Joy is a work on the inside. It can't be reproduced the same way it can be happiness is by just going out and buying the newest iPhone. Or just getting the latest tech gadgets. See, that produces happiness. I bought a car, I became happy. You know what? 2 weeks later, I was unhappy with my car. Happiness kind of comes and goes. And in fact, it sometimes gives you a false sense of being greater than joy. It might spike up higher than joy. But man, the crash of happiness is pretty low. Happy joy kind of rides like this. And over time, you cultivate joy as you cultivate a relationship with Christ. I must testify that we were pretty happy before leaving Cairo. We had accomplished a lot in regards to earthly goals. Alice and I have traveled quite a bit. I've been to almost every state, seen some incredible things. I've been to the ocean. I've been to the mountains. I've been to China and Japan and Russia. All before we left for Cairo, I had a lot of things going for us. We had both great ministries. Both of us had college degrees. We had a network of great friends. The list goes on and on and on. I was a hipster coffee snob, all of that. Yet moving to Cairo and abandoning our little realm of happiness brought us joys that we could have never known had we held on to those. We were able to share the gospel with people for their very first time. Never heard anything like that. We were invited into a Muslim woman's home who never had a foreigner or a guest in that building sit and eat with her. Over time, we were able to pray for healing in her body. She didn't want to listen to the gospel, but she would love when we prayed for her. And trust me, we prayed in Jesus' name. Sometimes you throw the gospel in your prayers. She was listening. She even, in Cairo, they have servants. Something we don't have in the U.S., but the poverty level is pretty low. So they have servants. She even called her servant. She says, "My servant is sick. Come here. He's going to pray for you as well." My wife and first ones invited into the home to pray for those. First ones ever in her entire life to lift up her name to the Heavenly Father. People pray for one another in the Muslim religion, but to a dead God. First time ever her name got confessed before the Father. Not because of what we did, but through who Jesus is living in us. We held on to nothing in regards to our team. We gave our time, our effort, and energies so that others could succeed. We found Jesus ever more intimate as the spiritual climate around us was hostile. And we did this by abandoning our little world here in the U.S. and going on mission with Christ. You have that same opportunity we did right here, Right now, you have it. It's in your schools. You go home to it. It's in your families. You have the chance to abandon your own little world of happiness and enter into other people's lives, producing joy. You can pray for others when they're sick. You can share Jesus with those who don't know. And trust me, the nations are here in Lansing. Yesterday, I was at a junkyard in Katz over in the west end of Lansing. Here are these two men from Somalia. One has been here for 11 years. So I know there's nations that are in your schools that you're mixing and mingling with. You pray for them. You share Jesus with them. You give graciously and love generously the brothers and sisters in Christ. And listen, when you see your brother and sister in Christ being abused in any way, you go take care of them. You don't mess around. That's your brother. That's your sister. You defend them to death. The Bible says they'll know us by our what? Our good deeds? Our answers? Our cool technology? Our hipster haircuts? Our Jesus tattoo? Our new shoes? No, they'll know us by our love. So when you see your brother and sister in Christ being picked on at school, and you know they're kind of the weird one, you go defend them. When you see another brother and sister in Christ be abused by someone else, you go step in for them. You don't leave your brothers and sisters hanging. That's how the enemy comes in. He begins to divide. And we lay down a lot for ourselves so that others could succeed on our team. So a business, I was struggling because I was being asked to volunteer 10 hours a week to teach English to people that I was there for, but I really wanted to practice Arabic with the people. And we had this great English school and things like that. And I was so apprehensive to give my 10 hours a week. But I did it anyway. And now that English school is flourishing and it's moving. And brothers and sisters in Christ are using that English school to share the gospel and build relationships. But here I was so apprehensive in my own walk. And I want to challenge you to abandon your little world of happiness and dig down deep with other brothers and sisters in Christ. On top of that, sharing Christ. On top of that, praying for others. As you buy to Christ, cultivate that relationship with Christ. He's going to move you and put you into places that you never expected to be. This true joy really means we have to abandon of what we know and love about ourselves in our lives, and our actions and attitudes and who we have built ourselves to be. And God gives us that new identity, and sometimes we want to hold on. But I want to encourage you to abandon that. The last section here, I'll be brief, verses 18 through 27. We have seen on TV the Muslim world is quite hostile, the Arab world is quite hostile to Christians. We've seen that firsthand. We see it on the news today. Persecution is happening in this world at a very great rate. And most of you, you've lived long enough to know this world is not a safe place. Whether you see it on TV, or you experience it in your house, or you experience it on the streets, this world is not a safe place. A lot of things, craziness, happen around us. And I know you're not unfamiliar with that. Jesus isn't either. In fact, Jesus encouraged his disciples and even sends them out in the midst of hostility, amidst persecution. We know that from John 15 in those verses that I gave you, that hostility and persecution await. But Jesus doesn't hesitate to send them out anyway. You know, in Egypt, sometimes people think, you know, were you persecuted? Honestly, we weren't persecuted. But we did have some resistance to our message. People either changed the subject or made certain statements about Islam and how Christianity can't be correct, like the Bible has been changed, and all the list goes on and on and on. So we met some resistance, but never did we face persecution like some have. You know, for you going into your schools, people aren't going to say to you, Jesus is awesome, and I think you are too, you know? I just... I think you're the greatest person ever. In fact, as I remembered high school, it was quite the opposite. I even called myself a Christian and mocked other Christians. I did crazy things. I drank, smoked pot, all kinds of stuff while calling myself a Christian, because that's the world that I kind of lived in and thought about. And didn't like other Christians. Heck, you know, I even had a youth pastor. I flipped the bird one time because I was so mad at him. He was hanging out with other people. And I just saw him and gave him the bird. I had hostilities in myself, you know, that Jesus had thankfully removed and forgave, you know, that are washed thankfully under the blood. So even as a believer myself, schools are very hostile to your faith, whether it's a teacher or others. Yet, we know we have a treasure inside of us so precious that cannot crush us or push us down or destroy us. That treasure and prize within us is Christ Himself that strengthens us, that gives us courage that we can run back to in the midst of those difficulties, in the midst when we proclaim Christ in the places unknown to us, that He will give us the words to speak and He'll give us the strength and courage to do so, but we must be willing to step out. And for some of you today, you're considering your future. You're like, Elliot, I'm doing that stuff. Maybe your challenge today is that you need to be challenged with an opportunity to go to Egypt, to go to the Middle East, to go learn Arabic, to go be brutalized in your mind over learning a difficult language. Maybe that's what your challenge is today. You're like, I've done the school thing, Elliot. I'm good with that. They know I'm a Christian. I don't really care. I lead a Bible study. That's good and great. But there are greater challenges out there that I'm asking you to consider. There are greater hilltops, greater mountaintops to climb for the kingdom of God. I was sharing with some of you tonight, asking if I was going back to Egypt. My heart is just stirred for the real unreached. Egypt is still unreached. There's 90 million Muslims in that city. I was part of an evangelical Arab body when I was there going to church, about 1,000 people, one of the largest church in the Middle East, actually, I went to and attended. But that's a backdrop of 90 million people. You travel across borders and boundaries and you go into a nation of Oman. They have like less than 20 believers. Less than 20 Omani people are Christians in that country. Less than 20. There are more Starbucks than there are believers. That's what we're talking about. And that's just one country. That's just one group of people. There are thousands of unreached people groups waiting to hear the gospel, waiting for somebody to come. And it might be some of you. Why would God choose me? Because others said no. Others looked at the Middle East. They said, no way, Jose. And they went on their life. And they're trying to live a happy life. But man, let me tell you, when you step into the unknown, you step into realms of joy that you have never known before. And yes, you can do that in the U.S. But I'm telling you, if you don't have that call to be in the U.S., you better get out and get into the nations that God has called you to. Tonight, I just want to allow this time and space to be up here. I don't want the worship team up here because tomorrow morning, there's not going to be a worship team. No worship team is going to come to your house and lead you in worship and lead you in prayer. You have to do it on your own. Listen, if you don't know Christ tonight and want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, if that's someone you want to meet with every day, the Bible is clear. We must repent, turn around, and go the other way. We must confess that Jesus is Lord. That is a humble expression that we are not in control. Jesus paid the penalty of sin so that you and I cannot bear. He only has the power to remove sin, shame, guilt, and even fear. And I ask you that if you have not turned your heart over Him fully, do that today. So that's one group of people I want to see up here tonight. Secondly, as you begin the new year, I'm asking for some of you to make a recommitment to read the Bible, pray, and spend extravagant time with Jesus. You know, as you start off the year, start it off right. Start off with foundation stones that you can carry in all throughout your year. Thirdly, I felt led by the Spirit just to put this in my notes tonight. If you're hurting and you need a touch from Jesus tonight, come. So those three categories tonight, just come up here and meet with the Lord, whatever it might be. In the silence, filling up this altar just as a response from Him, saying whether you want to get right with Jesus, making Him Lord and Savior, or whether you want to make a recommitment, or whether you just need a touch from Him, come. The altars are open to come and meet with Him. I know there's no music, and it might be weird for some, but some of you, I feel like, just need to be left with your own thoughts and speaking to Jesus on your own accord without anyone else leading you along, because that's what's going to be tomorrow morning.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.